Good afternoon, America. Welcome to Mark Levine's Inside Scoop on Washington, where we bring you all the news from the nation's capital that the government does not want you to know. Today, we're going to talk about the Bush-Kerry race. Well, actually, we're going to talk about the Bush-Kerry-Nader race. There is a third-party candidate running. His name is Ralph Nader, but I'm not quite sure whether he's a third-party candidate at all. What we're finding out is that more and more, Ralph Nader is taking Republican money, Republican organization. He's using Republicans to get on the ballot, and he knows, or at least he should know, after what happened in 2000, that he takes more votes from Kerry than from Bush. So here we have this former consumer advocate, a guy that used to, we think, be out for the little guy, and now he's using Republican help in every which way. Well, why is he doing this? Who's behind this? What kind of Republican help is he getting? Well, glad you joined me here on the Inside Scoop, because we have the answers today. And someone who's really got the answers is my guest. His name is Bob Gamage. He's a former congressman, former Texas congressman, and also a former Texas Supreme Court justice. And he's with the StopNader.com campaign. And we're going to try to discuss what it is that makes Ralph run and how it is that the Republicans are helping him out. If you want to join in this discussion, you're always welcome to do so. All you have to do is dial in 877-57-SCOOP, toll-free, 877-57-SCOOP. Or, as always, you can send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. Congressman Gamage, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
It's good being with you, Mark.
Well, now, tell me, let's start at the beginning. I mean, Ralph Nader used to have a fairly illustrious past, right? I mean, he helped with cars and all kinds of things.
Well, yes, I guess starting with Unsafe at Any Speed is a book about General Motors and the Corvair and the dangers that it posed to anybody who was a passenger or driving it.
So, he used to be a good guy. How did he turn to the dark side? How did Darth Vader get a hold of Ralph Nader?
I really can't explain what Ralph Nader is doing now. He was an environmentalist. He was a consumer advocate. He was there often when no one else was, fighting for the little guy, fighting for the consumer, fighting for the environment that we all have to live in. And now he seems to be reversing field and acting totally contrary to everything he has purported to stand for before.
And I want to get—I
can't explain it.
Well, I want to get into a lot of detail this hour, or at least for the half hour. Maybe we can get you for the whole hour and talk about all the ways the Republicans are helping Ralph Nader and why they're doing so. First, why don't you explain to our audience a little bit about who you are? I mentioned you're a former congressman, a former Texas Supreme Court justice. That's quite an illustrious resume there. What are you doing now trying to stop Ralph Nader? What's going on in your life?
Well, I'm one of a number of Stop Nader volunteers around the country. I'm not the whole act, and I don't have all the answers by a long shot. I've got bits and pieces, but there are separate organizations in each state. We try to coordinate nationally, but we have to go where Nader goes, and we have to fight on the local basis with whatever tools we have to try to keep him off the ballot, take votes away from John Kerry, and reelect George Bush. A simple matter of fact was in 2000. Simple matter of fact will be in 2004. that is a vote for Ralph Nader is a vote for George Bush. If you want to reelect George Bush, President of the United States, then vote for Ralph Nader.
Well, let's give some specifics here. Now, I very much was very focused on 2000, as was most of the country. In Florida, I happen to think Gore got the most votes in Florida. They just didn't count them. But even if you look at the official statistics, which we know are overflated, that Bush won by 537 votes, Ralph Nader got some, what is it, 20,000 in Florida?
Close enough for government work. Yes.
Yeah,
he got thousands of votes.
He got thousands of votes, more than enough that if a small percentage of them, if they were really liberal progressive voters who liked what Ralph Nader used to be, they could easily have voted for Al Gore, and we wouldn't have had given Catherine Harris the chance to steal the election. It's not just Florida, though. I happen to know in New Hampshire, Bush's margin of victory was 7,000 votes, and Ralph Nader got some 20-something thousand votes, and New Hampshire alone, even without the Florida shenanigans, would have elected Al Gore. So now, Ralph Nader, though, he denies. He says that, no, it wasn't him. It's got nothing to do with him in 2000. Is anyone buying this?
I don't think so. Ralph is ignoring the numbers, and numbers are things that he's lived by for decades now. If you go back and read Unsafe at Any Speed, it's replete with statistics. It's replete with testing data. On environmental and consumer issues, it's replete with numbers. Now he's saying numbers don't count.
Well, you know, I thought it interesting that Michael Moore, someone who is to the left of me, I admit it, I'm sort of a mainstream Democrat, but Michael Moore, one of the things that I didn't like about him in 2000 was that he supported Ralph Nader. Today he's on board. We find that the left wing of the Democratic Party, if you will, is fully on board. Most of them, even Michael Moore, got on his knees on Bill Maher's show and begged Ralph Nader not to run. Apparently Ralph Nader isn't listening to his old compatriot. But what I want to get into this hour is not so much the strange things going on in Ralph Nader's mind, though, frankly, folks, if you want to join in and explain to me the megalomania or whatever's going on in Ralph Nader's mind, I welcome you to do so at 877-57-SCOOP. But I want to go into how the Republicans are helping Ralph Nader, because Ralph Nader used to be against corporations, against corporate interests, against corporations, you know, attacking the little guy. Now I think he's taking money from them. Is that true?
Well, I would say so, yes.
Can you give us some examples for our listeners?
Yeah. Hold on just a second. I've got some numbers written down here.
Okay. Fair enough.
Get right with you. I think, because I do think numbers count.
Numbers do matter. Would you want to start on the ballot stuff
first?
Well,
why don't we start on with Citizens for a Sound Economy.
Okay, who are they?
Which was created by Dick Armey, former Republican House Majority Leader from Texas.
Okay.
Citizens for a Sound Economy has been very active in several states. It is in New Hampshire as we speak today. They're trying to collect signatures to get Nader on the ballot, and they're helping to fund that effort up there. And let me just give you a list of some of the corporate interests and foundations.
But before you do, I just want to make sure our listeners know who Dick Armey is. I certainly know. I used to work in Congress, but maybe some of our listeners don't know. Why don't you explain who he is?
Dick Armey is a former economics professor from the University of North Texas who was elected to Congress sometime back in the late 70s, early 80s.
And was majority leader.
Majority leader of the Congress when the Republicans took the majority there.
So I just want to be clear. He wasn't just a professor. He wasn't just a Republican member of Congress. This was the leader of the Republicans in Congress for many, many years.
Exactly.
His organization, and tell me what they're doing.
Well, right now they are raising money from foundations and corporations, and here are just a few of the corporations that are supporting this Citizens for a Sound Economy: Archer Daniels Midland, Daimler Chrysler, Enron.
Enron?
Yes,
do they have
Enron,
any money
General
left?
General Electric, Koch Industries, F.M. Kirby Foundation, Philip Morris, U.S.
Philip
West.
Morris. No,
that's just a few.
Tobacco companies.
Yeah.
And Enron, I thought Enron was out of money. I guess they're taking it out of their bankruptcy stuff?
Well, I don't know whether the checks came in before they went belly up or they're still coming in.
But, so Ralph Nader...
They have been Citizens for a Sound Economy funders. And Castle Rock Foundation, Earhart Foundation, JM Foundation, Koch Family Foundation, so that's Koch Industries all over again.
Now tell me what Citizens for a Sound Economy, what are they doing for Ralph Nader?
Basically, they're funding operations in various states to gather signatures to get him on the ballot by petition. They are actually going out and hiring entities, usually Republican consulting entities, to hire people, put people on the payroll to go out and get signatures. The latest example of this is in New Hampshire. In fact, there's an article, I'm not sure, the last day or two in one of the New Hampshire papers about a young lady named Emily Swaka. She was from Kittery, Maine, and she hired on as a temp at an agency up there, and they sent her over to Novani Hill. Can't read my own handwriting here.
That's okay, but they're working in New Hampshire to put Ralph Nader on the ballot.
Oh yeah, exactly.
And they're getting people to sign petitions. How are they? You know, they're. Well, yeah. How's the money being spent?
They're putting people out door to door at rallies and shopping centers and what have you to get people to sign petitions to put Ralph Nader on the ballot.
Now, are they reaching out to Republicans or to the kind of progressive leftists that normally support Ralph Nader?
They're reaching out to everybody, including Republicans. In fact, one of the functions that they went to in New Hampshire to try to get signatures was basically a Republican Party function. They've done the same thing. They actually went to a Cheney rally in check my notes. Yeah, in Iowa. Yeah.
They
actually went to a Cheney rally to get people to sign these petitions.
And did Republicans sign on?
Well, they've been signing on. Yeah.
So they go and they tell Republicans, hey, you know, we don't want them to vote for Kerry, so sign on, we'll get Nader on.
No, they're pretty blatant about it. The pitch, the spiel, this is what got this young lady's attention. She signed on for some temporary work, and they sent her over to this group in New Hampshire, a Republican consulting group, Norway Hill. It's what it's called, Norway Hill Company, and they sat down and gave them a pitch to make to people about, do you want to help President Bush? And they sent them out to Republican functions. Do you want to help President Bush? And if they're a little reluctant, then they tell them, if Ralph Nader had not been on the ballot in 2000, President Bush would not be in the White House.
So that's interesting. The one thing Democrats and Republicans agree then is that Ralph Nader is helping George Bush. Now, surely Ralph Nader, who's been against companies like Enron in the past and against tobacco companies, surely he's not accepting their aid to put him on the ballot.
Well, he said he wouldn't, but then he did.
And he hasn't in any way said, don't do this for me.
No, absolutely not. I would say he's encouraging it by accepting it.
Okay, now I know that in Michigan, for example, he didn't get enough signatures, but again, the Republicans came to his aid. What happened there?
Well, let me here again go back to my notes.
Okay. Or maybe you could talk about the situation in Oregon. I know in Oregon there was a way to get in Oregon. I believe you can get on a ballot if you have one day. So many supporters come into a room and go to like a convention.
Well, I'm not familiar with all the machinations in each of the states.
Okay.
Now, let me make that very clear.
Fair enough.
You know, when you say you're somebody who knows everything,
okay.
I don't know everything by a long shot, but I've got little bits and pieces of information about a lot of things. And Oregon is one of those. That's another area where that Citizens for a Sound Economy, the Dick Armey organization, was very evident. The Oregon Green Party, Ralph went after the Green Party nomination out there, and they said no. And so to say he's a third-party candidate, you made in your opening made that point very clearly, I think, that he is not a third-party candidate. Now, the Reform Party
has
endorsed him, but they are the same ones who endorsed Pat Buchanan
in 2000. I don't usually see Ralph Nader and Pat Buchanan as being allies on most things.
No,
But, you know, I mean, Pat Buchanan is sort of far right wing, and Nader's pretty far left wing. I don't know what they share.
Maybe they've gone full circle and met each other.
You know, I've always wondered about that. I've always wondered if the far right meets the far left, maybe in the Reform Party. But why are they why is the Reform Party, people who, you know, are against, I mean, at least if they supported Pat Buchanan, they're against immigrants, they're against, basically pro-choice, woman's right to choose, or environmental standards, or all the things the Democratic Party stands for, why would they turn to Ralph Nader?
To stop Ralph Nader, stop John Kerry.
So what's interesting to me is everyone seems to be involved in the same cause. You've got the far right, the Reform Party. You've got Dick Armey, Majority Leader of Congress. You've got Cheney rallies, Vice President Cheney rallies. You got people saying quite out there, you know, you got to sign, put Nader on the ballot. That's going to help elect Bush. Everyone in this process is doing it to help reelect, or maybe I should say reselect, the President of the United States. Is anyone falling for this? I mean, why does he still have decent poll numbers?
I think that you call it a cult following, if you will. Ralph Nader did great work and developed a following nationwide. He made a difference in the electoral process as far as some candidates were concerned. He made a big difference in the legislative process and even within various administrations regarding his efforts to improve the environment and to inject a little more consumer protection into our laws and statutes and in our case law. And he's been an outstanding advocate for those people and those interests through the years.
Years ago,
and all of a sudden, he's not only slammed on the brakes, he's gone into full reverse. And I don't think that the information has caught up with him on that yet. That people don't seem to understand that Ralph Nader apparently does not represent the things Ralph Nader has always represented.
Let me read to you. I got some emails here that have come in. And I got one from Fred. He writes, it's Fred in New York City. Mark is a past Nader voter. I don't understand what he's doing this year. I won't even try to defend him. I do not think he will have wide support. He certainly does not have the support of the Green Party. We can debate whether or not Nader cost Gore the election or the wisdom of running third parties, but the fact is we are not going away. In this year where I believe Bush is a genuine threat to our country, I'm willing to vote for Kerry, even though he does not represent me. This is not something I do lightly, and it's not likely to happen again. Fred asked, rather than complaining about Nader or Perot or anyone else, why don't the Democrats make fixing the process part of their platform? If we had instant runoff voting in 2000, would we be complaining about Ralph Nader or stuck with Bush as president? If you don't want third parties to take votes away from other candidates, the solution is not to keep third parties out, but rather to fix the system of proportional representation and instant runoff voting. I'll let you respond, and then I got my own response to Fred.
Well, I'm with Fred as far as as okay, maybe we're off target, but we got to deal with the target we have at the moment. And our target we have at the moment is the election of 2004 and what the Republicans are trying to do by manipulating Ralph Nader onto the ballot in as many marginal battleground states as possible. We have to stop that if we want to stop Bush. It's basically Fred understands full well that a vote for Nader is a vote for Bush, and he's willing to not give Nader that vote this year.
Fred, here's how I would respond. If you look at most of these issues, election issues, they're actually decided state by state. Louisiana, for example, I know has a runoff system. I believe it's the only state in the country, though I don't think it applies to electoral votes. I think it just applies to statewide races.
You're right.
But my understanding is this is a question of state law. So I guess what I'd say to you, Fred, in New York City is go to your state officials in New York or go to one of the more liberal states, maybe Vermont or Oregon, and try to work it out state by state. I have no problem with instant voting. I happen to think it's more democratic. I support it. And I would think you could get Democratic Party leaders to do the same, but I guess the way it works in our democracy is sometimes you have to start state by state. You're not going to get a constitutional amendment, certainly not something that's fairly untried. I think if you go state by state, states are the laboratories of democracy, and that's how we can affect change. In the meantime, as you note, you got to vote for John Kerry because that's the system as we have now. But if you want to change the system, I suggest working at state by state. And if that doesn't work, start at the locality. Start in New York City or wherever it is and try to get instant voting, third-party voting there. And I think from there you can go on to the rest of the country. We've got to go to a commercial break. It'll also give you a chance to call in. The number is 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. What do you think about the machinations of Republicans and Ralph Nader? Is he really a tool of the Republican Party? Why is he doing this? What do you think? 877-57-SCOOP, or send an email to comment at radioinsidescoop.com. We'll be right back with Bob Gamage and more on the Republican tool, Ralph Nader, right after this.
Bush and gang came into office claiming to be morally superior to the sexually crass Bill Clinton. They took special glee in highlighting Clinton's reprehensible attempts to parse the legal language of what constitutes sex, pointing to Bill's infamous contortions over what the definition of is. But, holy hypocrite, look who's doing legalistic contortions now, parsing the language of the law not to excuse personal sexual misconduct, but to rationalize the much more crass act of official torture. Internal memos now show that all of Bush's top lawyers were straining at the bit to unleash the CIA, FBI, and military forces to break both U.S. and international laws that ban the use of torture when interrogating prisoners of war. One in particular, a 2002 memo by Jay Bybee, top legal counsel in Bush's Justice Department, went to extremes to claim that in grilling detainees, the Bushites could use practically any torture methods short of killing prisoners without violating either our own nation's torture law or the Geneva Accords. Bybee's memo went into excruciating detail to parse such terms as severe pain, imminent death, and profound mental disruption. The memo concludes that only physical pain as intense as you would expect from organ failure or death qualifies as torture. Short of that, anything goes. The same anything-goes mentality that corrupted Enron and most of corporate America now is loose at the highest levels of government. It just shows that if top officials unleash crafty lawyers to justify the most despicable actions, they will. By the way, George W. has subsequently put Bybee on the U.S. Court of Appeals, where he can apply his anything-goes mentality to all the cases that come before him. This is Jim Hightower saying, we need a president who will choose lawyers of conscience, not of convenience.
38%.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine, bringing you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. And I suspect the government does not want you to know about how much the Republican Party is doing to help Ralph Nader. These are strange allies. These are strange times. But they're doing their best to get Ralph Nader on the ballot and to give him a lot of money. And my guest is former Congressman Bob Gamage of Texas, former Texas Supreme Court Justice. He's now helping lead the charge along with a bunch of others. And if you want to help or see what they're doing, you can check out their website at stopnader.com. It's really a terrific website. I'm looking at it right now. The front page is Bush's former ambassador to Ireland, Richard Egan, who gave $2,000 to the Nader campaign, and a bunch of good stories. Let me go to some of the people on the phones and get their comments and questions. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Bob Gamage.
Hi, this is Freeman from San Diego.
Yes.
And I
I think it's really kind of misleading to say that Ralph and the Republicans are allies. Sure, the Republicans have something to gain by supporting Ralph, but it's not like how corporations support Democrats and Republicans and get something in return. Ralph isn't going to, you know, do the Republicans any favors, you know, any special favors because they supported him. He's going to stay in the race and he's going to accept their money, but he's not going to support Republican values.
Well, don't you think he's doing them a favor by staying in the race and drawing votes from John Kerry?
If you simplify the situation, yes. But the fact is, and you guys don't seem to be talking about it, is that Ralph's message is much deeper than just saying, well, I'm a true liberal. I mean, he's really talking about corporate-run government, and I believe the country is really being destroyed by corporations and the politicians that are catering to them, and that's both Republicans and Democrats.
Okay, it's a fair point. Well, hang on. Let me ask former Congressman Gamage what he thinks about that. Congressman, what about the idea that corporations, they give to Democrats just as well as Republicans, that both parties are equally complicit in this, and that Nader is different from the two of them?
I'll tell you what, yes, candidates from both parties do receive contributions from corporate interests. I think old Phil Graham, the former United States Senator from Texas, called money the mother's milk of politics, and corporations have more to give than individuals do generally. And there is a difference between corporations. But, yes, I can't deny that, and I won't try to deny that. Corporate interests do contribute to candidates of both parties, less and less so when it comes to Democrats as a result of back I remember when I was in Congress, the Democratic majorities were there, and the Republicans would always go to the corporate lobbyists and say, please, all we ask for is equal treatment. Tom DeLay became majority whip of the
majority leader now.
Majority leader actually from the time he was whip of the Republican Party members of the House. They closed their doors to any lobbyist, corporate or otherwise, who is in any way associated with or supported Democrats. They believe they're not interested in governing. They're interested in ruling. And they're pretty well there. And if Ralph Nader wants to help them get the rest of the way there, then he needs to be on the ballot in every state, not just battleground states. I'm very disappointed in Ralph because Ralph is fighting contrary to his own interests and those interests he's promoted and the values that he's promoted and embraced for his entire political life.
Caller, let me give you my view, and you can certainly feel free to disagree with me here, but I guess my view is this. I'm not saying the Democrats are pure by any stretch, but if you compare the two, and I realize you want a third choice, but if you compare the two, there's really no question about the differences between the parties. If you look at just the Enron scandals, you see that the Republicans don't want accounting. They don't want auditing. They support very high CEO salaries, while Democrats, some of them at least, many of them, are seeking a cap on such salaries. If you look at tax breaks for corporations going abroad, the Republicans support them. The Democrats are against them. I think if you want to restrain corporations, clearly, caller, I mean, I don't know if you agree with me, but the Democrats are better than the Republicans, don't you think?
I agree, but a D minus is still destroying the country, whereas an F minus is just destroying it faster. And
I guess I give them a B.
If I was one of the ones supporting the destruction of it,
I guess I give the Democrats a B rather than a D minus. Let's talk about some of the things that they have done. Okay, I mean we have trying, for example, in Kerry's proposals, they're trying to have pollution controls and labor controls on things like NAFTA, which is actually further left than Bill Clinton had. He's definitely, against the tax breaks for corporations, not just the ones going abroad, but a lot of the corporate welfare we've seen in the pork bills over the past few years. I'm not sure. I mean, one of the things that they really have pushed through this administration, and I know the Democrats did this because I used to work for Congressman Barney Frank, and he was head Democrat on the Financial Services Committee, and he helped push through the so-called Sarbanes-Oxley bill. It's really just the Sarbanes bill, which means that corporations, CEOs, have to actually be accountable for what they do, and if they don't, they can go to jail. You have Elliot Spitzer, Attorney General in New York, who's a Democrat, who's really pushing hard on these corporations, making them accountable. I'm not sure what else you want them to do. Tell me, what do you want them to do that they're not doing?
Well,
the Democrats.
For starters, they could stop taking money from corporations and doing them favors. I mean, Bill Clinton himself was one of the ones that championed NAFTA and GATT, and that certainly favors corporations and not the people. And you're also bringing issues where you're saying, well, look at these labor things that the Democrats are doing. That's beside the issue. Yeah, I agree. Those are both liberal things, but Nader is going beyond that, at least that's what I see, and he's saying, look, it's wrong for corporations to dictate our policy, and they may be doing it worse with the Republicans, but they are doing it bad with the Democrats. And for every example, you can say, well, look at these guys, you know, these Democrats fought this, like, you know, Bill Clinton was fighting Microsoft, and Bush comes into office, and all of a sudden it's all gone.
Right.
You're right, there are bad things, and there are worse things, but for every good example you can provide of Democrats doing some good, if you did some more research, I'm sure you could find an equal or greater number of bad things that Democrats are doing that cater to, you know, corporations running the government.
Well, I guess
that's the issue that Ralph Nader is really running on.
This Bob game. To the bottom line, in election, let's confront the realities that we're confronted with at the moment. What is a move in the right direction, or what is a move away from the wrong direction? Is reelecting George Bush in the interest of those things that you say you're promoting and that you say Ralph Nader is promoting? I don't think so. There's a difference between corporations, which do produce jobs and are an integral part of our economy, and to create wealth, and right now what we have is the wealth as opposed to the jobs, I think, as far as exporting jobs, as particularly the better paying jobs in our economy is concerned. But do you shoot yourself in the foot? Do you cut off your nose to spite your face? Do you throw the baby out with the bathwater? Will the medicine kill you quicker than the illness? Yes, we've got issues that need to be addressed, but are they better addressed within the Democratic Party or by yielding total control and total power and going to government, corporate government under the Republicans, or perhaps with the Democrats, a government that deals with corporations, that acknowledges the corporate reality and tries to regulate them, control them, and pare them down and protect the individual interest and the consumer interest and the environmental interest as we try to move forward and have a healthy economy as well. I don't have all the answers. John Kerry doesn't have all the answers. Ralph Nader certainly doesn't have all the answers. And George Bush has none of the answers.
Caller, let me ask you. There's an old statement you've probably heard that the perfect shouldn't be the enemy of the good. I mean, I think we all, frankly, agree on the facts. We may come to different conclusions, but we all agree that the Democrats are better than the Republicans, and that I think we can all agree that Ralph Nader doesn't have a chance of winning the election. Who are you going to vote for in 2004?
Nader.
You're going to vote for Ralph Nader. Did you vote for him in 2000?
No.
You voted for Gore?
No, actually.
You're a new voter?
All my life I've been anti both Democrat and Republican, and I've not voted because I didn't like my choices. And finally, with George Bush coming around, I got more interested in politics and read more history and decided that I'm best serving my country by voting for Nader.
Now, if you lived in a swing state, one that if you lived in Florida in 2000, okay, knowing what you know now, knowing that that would make the difference between Bush and Gore in 2000, would you still have voted for Nader as a protest vote rather than using your vote to get Gore, who, whatever you think of his problems, it clearly would have been a better president in terms of the issues you care about than George Bush?
You know, it's hard to say because in my mind it would be like saying, well, would you vote for Hitler or would you vote for Stalin? You know, Stalin killed more people, but clearly Hitler was, you know, targeting more of a certain group. You
but
know,
caller, that's not
evil.
Fair. That's not fair.
I mean, say that Kerry and Bush are like Hitler and Stalin. I'm saying that when you get to a certain point and there's a certain amount of evil, I'm not saying Kerry's evil, and I'm just saying with the parties, when you get to a certain point and you're like, okay, that's evil enough, it doesn't matter if that one's better than the other, I can't in good conscience vote for that amount of evil for my country.
Well, I understand your view. I respectfully disagree. I got to tell you, John Kerry is doing a lot of things that you would like. I think you've seen it in his platform. I think you've seen it. When you talk about taking corporate money, for example, I'm sure you know, caller, about the McCain-Feingold bill, which was supported overwhelmingly by Democrats and opposed overwhelmingly by Republicans. That is a first step. It's not complete by all means. It could go farther, but it's definitely a first step into taking corporate soft money out of the process. It seems to me, what's interesting is this sort of purer than thou. You're saying, well, Democrats should not take corporate funds, right? But we have to be competitive with the Republicans who have these hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's almost like you'd rather we lose in our glorious purity than win with some help with some people that you don't like. Is that fair?
Well, you make it sound like it's just a little help from a small few people when, in fact, it's, you know, basically saying, well, we're going to keep some of our values, but basically the corporations are still going to run the country. And I think that's a more serious issue.
Well, corporations have run a large part of this country for centuries here. It's not like it's going to be a massive change, but it's a question of, you know, what goes in the right direction.
I don't know about centuries. Certainly the rich have always had more of an influence, but until, you know, corporations started lobbying more heavily, and, you know, I'm kind of a young guy. I don't know exactly when that started, but
late 1800s is when corporations became very powerful. But Bob, let me just ask you, Bob Gamage, what can you give some things that the Democratic Party is going to do or planning to do to restrain some corporate influence?
Well, I think number one, we're going to restore some of the environmental regulation that has been abrogated under the Bush administration. But, you know, despite whatever quarrels he may have had with Bill Clinton and the Democratic Party generally, historically, as far as their affinity with corporate America, it has been the Democrats who have taken the lead in behalf of consumers. It's been the Democrats who have taken the lead in behalf of the environment. It's been the Democrats who have taken the lead in favor of universal health care.
And labor rights.
Don't forget
labor rights.
Who have tried to deliver the goods to the ordinary folks out there. It's the percolate up. They've been the percolate up party rather than the trickle down party. And the trickles don't always make it to the bottom, but when you got to percolate up, it always makes it to the top. It's a question of degree. In an ideal world, both systems work. We don't have an ideal world. And what we've had in the Bush administration is an aggressive, steady dismantling from his first days in office of all environmental protections. I mean, his own secretary his own director of the EPA, who had been a good supporter of his as governor of an eastern state, 2 years into his administration, resigned in disgust. He has continued to dismantle every consumer protection out there. He has aggressively pursued the protection of corporate interests through trying to manipulate the litigation process, even the last resort that people had when they couldn't get satisfaction from their legislative and executive bodies was to go to court and try to gain some satisfaction there, and they have steadily attempted to dismantle that, take it all away. They now control the White House, the courthouse, and the legislative body, and we've got to take it back or we will be in a corporate government that doesn't even pretend to be elective or representative.
Caller, I'll give you one last word. Tell me, don't you think we need some checks and balances? The Democrats may not be perfect, but shouldn't they be balancing out the Republicans? Caller, you still there?
Sure, of course. I mean, it would be nice, but it would be nice if they were on the other side of the scale instead of the middle.
Well, keep listening.
The one that gave us these SUV problems. I mean, that's not pretend that the Democrats are so great for the environment. They do a lot of good things, but hell, they do a lot of bad things too.
Well, you know, that's the difference. The whole country, frankly, moves to the right, and the Democrats are in the middle, and the Republicans on the far right wing.
I want to know one good thing that's come out of the Bush administration.
Nothing.
Yeah, I think. See, that's interesting.
Well,
is you agree with us, caller?
I would only ask you to think about one thing. You know. If you want to win the war, ultimately you want to win it any way you can. You want to do something radical. You want to cast a protest vote. Back when I was in the Texas legislature, very early on, we fought some battles. We fought some wars. We won some. We lost some. And it came to a point where you either made a choice of compromising in the right direction or holding fast and losing it all.
And
that was what
comment?
We call the kamikaze wall we ran into, where you self-destruct in an effort to do something symbolically, and you throw out the baby with the bathwater.
One last word, caller, then I have to move on.
As a battle and not a war. So, yes, I'm trying to win the war and not each individual battle.
Well, we respectfully disagree. What's your first name?
My name's Freeman.
Freeman, okay. I hope you call in again, Freeman. Thanks so much for your
call.
Good
talking to you, Freeman.
Let me go to another caller here. Caller, you're on the air with Mark Levine and Bob Gamage. What do you think about Ralph Nader?
I just wanted to make a comment on what the last caller said about a protest vote.
Sure.
I don't think we should be using our votes as a protest. I think that maybe we should again, I totally agree that a vote for Nader is a vote for Bush, and we should get Bush out of office, obviously, by trying to get Kerry in, and then we can go out and protest whatever, you know, we want. And hey, if we don't want those SUVs, then we'll go protest that at a rally, and if we don't want this, then go protest that. But don't use your vote, a right that we've been given from 200-plus years of democracy, what people lost lives over. There's people in this world that can't vote, that don't have that right, and don't go throw it away in protest. Use it in order to get the current guy out, and then go protest all you want.
I think it's a strong point. You know, one of the things I found very interesting is that Ralph Nader, if he wanted to change the Democratic Party, or Freeman from San Diego, if you want to change the Democratic Party, I say join the Democratic Party, fight it out, have primaries, Democratic primaries. Ralph Nader could have run for president in the Democratic primary. He didn't, and he endorsed Dennis Kucinich, and then his guy Dennis Kucinich didn't win. And it just seems to me that when you divide us up, then the Republicans win. That is our system right now. Why? I don't know if you have an answer for this, Bob Gamage, but do you have any answer on why Ralph Nader didn't run as a Democrat?
Because Ralph Nader knew he could not win win the Democratic nomination, and I think it's just in Ralph's character not to join forces with either one of the major political parties, because he finds so much to criticize within both of them. And I think Ralph would say, well, if I join the Democratic Party and perform within the Democratic Party and seek the nomination within the Democratic Party, then I'm saddled with all the baggage of the Democratic Party and all of the groups that it represents and all the individuals that it represents out there, and I don't have that baggage now, and I don't want that baggage. He's always been autonomous, and he wants to stay that way. That said, one of the more beautiful things that I've seen occurring in this country today, and we can thank George Bush for this, is a growth and unity within the Democratic Party that I haven't seen in decades. People are coming together saying, all right, we have our differences. Let's put them aside. We have a major task to perform. We have a major goal to achieve here, and we will only do it by getting together and moving as a unit forward. This is the most unified Democratic Party I've seen in my political lifetime, and that goes back a ways. That Bush has given them a common goal, and is it negatively motivated? Yes, it's negatively motivated. They see him wreaking the destruction that he is wreaking. They see him shipping jobs overseas. They see the economy going in the toilet. They see him waging voluntary and unnecessary wars and exposing our young men and young women to death and destruction. And they see the taxpayers picking up the tab, and they seeing our grandchildren's economic futures being mortgaged by this administration. They don't want any more of it. They know that despite their differences, any differences they may have with one another or anyone else, that there's only one way to move forward and get past this, and that is elect a new administration, which happens to be the John Kerry administration of the Democratic Party at this point in time.
And then,
it's brought in disaffected Republicans and independents who've never been motivated before, things that I've never seen.
And if you don't like John, if you don't think John Kerry's gone far enough, but you like him better than Bush, then vote for John Kerry and then lobby that administration, the Kerry Edwards administration, to do things that you want. Why don't you go and help elect Democrats in Congress? They can help control Congress. And if you want someone in a Democratic primary, by all means, work hard to get the kind of person that supports the things you support in that Democratic primary and get out there and get them elected.
Ask yourself, will you have more influence within the Democratic Party or the Republican Party?
Call or anything more?
Yeah. Also, does Ralph Nader have anything to gain other than like his megalomaniac like mental needs here? I mean, he knows he's a smart guy. Up until this year, I was a Ralph Nader supporter. I read a bunch of his books. I mean, I think he's very intelligent. He knows he's not going to win, and he knows he's pulling votes away from Kerry. So why is he doing this?
The only thing I can think of, aside from ego, and that's a pretty low blow. I don't want to accuse Ralph of egomania, but other than that, the only thing I can see is that his strategy may be that if things get so bad, he's going to look a whole lot more acceptable to a whole lot more people. And there's only one way to make things better, and that's make them worse.
Well, actually, that was Lenin's strategy as well. The idea was that if the whole capitalist society implodes, then he could help pick up the pieces. And frankly, that's the only thing I can think of other than that Ralph Nader likes to hear himself speak and wants to get, you know, berths on the talk show circuit. But, hey, thanks very much for your call. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
We have to go to commercial break. When we come back, I want to hear more from you. All you have to do is dial in 877-57-SCOOP, 877-57-SCOOP. I'm also going to read some of your emails. I'm getting a whole bunch of them. You can just send them in to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. And we'll be right back with host Bob Gamage right after this. I do want to say, you always think of questions after it's too late. I guess I wanted to ask that Nader supporter, Freeman in San Diego, if corporate donations are so horrible, and I agree there's a corrupting influence from them, why is Ralph Nader accepting them? Ponder that. We'll be right back.
Good question.
We'll be right back.
If a thief broke into your home and stole a couple of $1,000s that you had carefully saved from your paychecks and stashed away over the last 3 years, you could call the cops and try to get your money back. But who do you call when that thief is the CEO of your company? CEOs have been routinely stealing hundreds and even thousands of dollars from the deserved paychecks of each and every worker in America, pocketing much of this loot themselves and converting the rest to corporate profits. The grand larceny of the CEOs is that they've been filching every worker's share of the enormous productivity gains that America has racked up since the recession officially ended in November of 2001. Productivity is the increase in products or services that each worker churns out, and Americans have been phenomenal at this, fueling an explosion of new economic growth. The theory and promise of free enterprise is that if our workforce of millions of people becomes more productive, the workers will enjoy the bulk of economic gains generated by their improved output. Yet in this current 3-year burst of productivity, America has lost jobs and wages have either stagnated or fallen. In other words, America's working families are being fleeced by the pinstripe thieves sitting atop corporate headquarters. Workers' share of the new income they've generated in this recovery is the lowest ever recorded, while the fat cats have hauled off the most on record. An in-depth analysis by the Center for Labor Market Studies at Northeastern University finds that while the workforce usually is rewarded with 65% of the increase in national income, this time they've received only 38%. Profits, which go overwhelmingly to only a few investor elites, usually get under 18% of the productivity increase, but now they're getting more than double that. This is Jim Hightower saying, this is a massive historic level of theft. And the pinstripe dandies pulling it off ought to be wearing prison stripes.
Toyota owners, roll into summer with great tire service offers at your participating Toyota dealer. And keep rolling all year long with free gas from Toyota. That's right, Toyota is giving away free gas for a year to 12 lucky winners. Just come into your participating Toyota dealer, where you get the very best competitively priced service performed by Toyota trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. Come in today and enter the sweepstakes.
No purchase necessary. Ends May 31st, 2004. Void or prohibited. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 year old with valid driver's license only. Void in Hawaii. Official rules at Toyota.com/owners.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. We're talking about the third party candidate in this race, Ralph Nader. And what are his motivations? Why is he running? And why are the Republicans doing so much to help them? My guest is former Texas Congressman Bob Gamage, also former Texas Supreme Court Justice, who is with the Stop Nader campaign. And he and I both ask you to check out StopNader.com In there, they've got all the articles describing exactly how the Republicans are helping Ralph Nader. I can just read some of them right here. We've got Michigan GOP gathering names for Nader. We've got New Hampshire doing their best. Nevada, Arizona, you have Republican leaders doing their best to get Ralph Nader on the ballot. And they're very clear about why they're doing it. As in Michigan, for example, the state party leader said that he was hoping Nader would draw votes from the Democratic candidate. Well, the Democrats are saying, look, the Republicans aren't out there trying to get more choices on the ballot. They're not out there helping the Libertarian Party. They're not out there helping Jerry Falwell get on the ballot. I'll tell you this, I would very much support Jerry Falwell being on the ballot, and I would hope that we could do our best as Democrats, if I played as dirty as Republicans, get Jerry Falwell on the ballot. Start taking some of those religious conservative votes, split them off, and maybe that'll help John Kerry. So we need to get Jerry Falwell, Pat Robertson, Jesse Helms. I mean, he's dead, but it doesn't matter. Get them all on the ballot, and that's going to help John Kerry. Does it make any sense for purist Ralph Nader, who supposedly is too pure to join the Democratic Party, work from within, which I think much of the left is understanding, that's the way to do it. You see Howard Dean supporters being loyal Democrats and Wesley Clark supporters. I was a Wesley Clark supporter. We're all working because we understand we have a better chance of influencing policy under John Kerry than we ever would under George Bush. Look, Bill Clinton wasn't perfect. I can tell you a number of things Bill Clinton did that I was not pleased with. But I can also tell you, he was the best president in my lifetime. Okay? He wasn't perfect. Honestly, if I want someone to represent Mark Levine's views, I'm going to have to run for office. Because I'm the only one I know who agrees with me 100% of the time. Everyone else disagrees with me part of the time. So I think when we look and see what these Republicans are doing, and check it out, check out StopNader.com, I'll give you a plug there. You know, this is something that the Republicans believe will help Bush, that the Democrats will believe will help Bush, that even our Nader supporter who called in from San Diego understands will help Bush, but yeah, I guess he doesn't want to sully his vote. If you want to call in, the number is 877-577-5770P, or I'm about to read a number of your comments that you sent on the email by sending to comment@radioinsidescoop.com. I do want to ask Bob Gamage, though, to tell us a little bit about StopNader.com and what you folks are doing to try to stop Nader. What are you up to?
Well, essentially, you know, we're a volunteer organization, and we are trying to stop Nader from getting on the ballot in all those states where he is attempting to do so, and you've seen, you've listed a few of those. And essentially, it looks like he's aiming primarily for the battleground states, so he is trying to get on the ballot in other states. I wouldn't call Texas a battleground state at this point in history, but he's attempting to get on the ballot in Texas. In fact, has sued the Secretary of State's office here in an effort to do so, and that's still pending in the federal court in Houston.
I'd say that one wouldn't bother me so much if he's on the ballot in Texas.
You know, in fact,
there he might actually take votes.
It might not hurt at all, but the point is we want to give the voters a very clear choice this time. We do not want to confuse the ballot with third parties, if possible, with other names, with what is essentially, in the context of this election this year at this time, clutter. We want a clear choice. It's got to be Bush or the other person, the other party. It can't be a plethora of parties out there, because as it is right now, the Republicans are united. Other than those who have become disaffected and got involved for Dean or got involved for Clark or got involved for some of the other candidates out there. And there are disaffected Republicans. There are motivated independents, people who have, and I assume this young man in football before he didn't, and got involved for Dean or got involved for Clark or got involved for some of the other candidates out there. And there are disaffected Republicans. There are motivated independents, people who have, and I assume this young man in football before he didn't really like what he saw in either one of the other political parties and really didn't think his vote made that much of a difference until Bush came on the scene. Now he's motivated. And what I would hate for him to see is for him to essentially cast a vote for Bush by casting a vote for Nader, and that's what's happening in the context of these times.
Congressman Gavitch, let me say I think I disagree with you ever so slightly. I want to make a distinction here. I don't have a problem with third parties, legitimate third parties, people, you know, going out and getting their supporters, people who are actually going to vote for them, and putting their names on the ballot. I understand the way the system works. I understand that third parties have virtually no chance of success in national elections, and that's a problem.
Well, the Green Party's on the ballot.
Right.
Know. The
that's
Green
why
Party's been on the
right.
ballot, but the Green
and the
Party
Libertarian
folks
Party
are not going to be voting Green.
Right. The Libertarian Party, and I understand there's no way to police it. I don't think if you are a registered Republican planning to vote for George Bush, you should be allowed to sign a petition to put Ralph Nader on the ballot. What do you think, Mr. Gamage?
Well, that's the soul of integrity. I had a friend who was on the Georgia Supreme Court, a fellow named Charles Weltner, who had been in Congress. Charles was ahead on odds on favorite for re-election to Congress back in the time that Lester Maddox became the Democratic nominee of the party and Democratic Party in Georgia. He beat a guy named Jimmy Carter for that. And Charles Weltner withdrew from the ballot. Withdrew. He was the Democratic nominee. He withdrew his name. He said he had signed an oath of loyalty to the party when he became a Democratic Party candidate and went on the ballot in the Democratic primary to support the candidates of the party in November. When Lester Maddox won the Democratic nomination for governor, he withdrew as a Democratic nominee because he said he could not fulfill that oath. He later became a justice of the Supreme Court of Georgia and was chief justice at the time that he passed away. Before he passed away, however, he was given the John F. Kennedy Profiles in Courage Award for having done what he did back when he was in Congress.
Yeah, I just want to make my point clear. I'm not against third parties per se. I understand that they have problems in our system. I support instant runoff voting, all of that. I do think if you sign a petition to put a third-party candidate on, you should support that third-party candidate at the very, very least.
It has to do with integrity.
Right.
And if you're arguing in favor was, if he signed a petition to put Ralph Nader on the ballot in California or helped Ralph Nader get on the ballot in California, then he has a moral obligation, an ethical obligation to support the candidate that he ought to get on the ballot.
At least Freeman from San Diego, I'll give him
we're trying to keep him off the ballot.
No, I understand. I just want to give him a little bit of credit. I think Freeman is someone who supports Ralph Nader. Fine, if you want to sign a petition. Where it bugs me, where it sticks in my craw, is the Republicans who are spending all their time and effort putting on Ralph Nader to game the system so that they can elect George Bush. I want to read, I got just a few minutes left, I want to read some of the many emails that I've gotten here and see how many I can get in the last few minutes. This is one from BK Politica, doesn't give his name. Mark, I've been listening for a while and enjoy the show. I think I'm to the left of some of your views, but respect your arguments and insider perspective. Regarding Nader's campaign, when can we finally say that Nader is working for the Republicans, that he's a paid member, operative mole of the GOP? I feel sorry for him and used to respect him. I've even bought one of his books in the past because I respect him so much as an agitator and advocate. But stranger things have happened. Look at the Vietnam vets who broke their code of honor and are now defaming Kerry's bravery for the interests of a cowardly deserter. Let me read some other emails I've gotten here. Skip writes, I still remember the Howard Dean Nader debate in which Nader describes the Democrats as being as much in bed with the big corporate interests as the Republicans. Implicit in that statement is that he holds himself to a higher standard. To a certain degree, I have to agree with the big corporate interest part. However, in accepting all that money and petition signatures from the right wing, Nader has compromised himself and is no better than the rest of them, if not worse. Here's Brian from New Jersey. I'm dumbfounded by the ignorance of Ralph Nader. This is not a stupid man. And I truly hope right before the election he'll wise up, let all his supporters know that getting rid of Bush is more important than his ego trip, and I guess he'll endorse Kerry. Well, we can all dream. I'm afraid that seems unlikely. Let me read some more. We have Nader is a tool of the Republicans, Rick writes, or a monkey wrench. People who vote for Nader are purists. George Bush is a purist. Purists don't understand compromise. Nader has an ego problem and delusions of grandeur. Nader and Naderites are short-sighted and selfish. They'll happily let the world burn as long as they vote their conscience. I guess it doesn't bother their conscience by helping elect an evil and destructive administration. Rick writes, the Naderites better go take a long, hot shower to get off the putrid stench after getting in bed with Bush. Very strong comment.
Whoa.
And lastly, I got a comment here from from Freeman, who's been listening in after he called in. Freeman from San Diego. I got to give him a chance to say his piece. And he writes here, there's a huge difference between being in bed with corporations and doing favors for them. Nader is being supported by Republicans because the Republicans know he'll take votes away. But you can't honestly think that Nader is going to do corporation favors if he were elected. I guess my answer, again, Freeman, is look at reality here. I mean, does he have a chance of being elected? Frankly, I'm not sure whether a person who would compromise his principles like Ralph Nader has would if he were elected, but that's pie in the sky. I remember a Saturday Night Live episode where they showed 2000, and they showed what would happen if Gore were elected, what would happen if Bush were elected, and then when they showed what would happen if Nader were elected, they had flying pigs flying across the screen. I just think you've got to be realistic and see what are your chances here. By all means, if you support the Greens, work for them in your local races, but in the national campaign, we've got to understand that Nader takes votes away from Kerry. Last email, JMM writes, if Nader really was concerned about his issues, he should have ran as a Democrat in the presidential primary. Look how well Dean did. When Dean spoke out and touched a nerve, all the other candidates followed suit. I want to agree with you. I actually think that Kerry and the other more moderate Democrats moved to the left based on the Dean campaign, and that shows you the power of running within the system, within the primary. Congressman Gamage, you've got a few seconds left to get the final word here.
Well, I don't have any final words that are different from anything I've said so far. I would like to address it to Freeman, though, while we're talking about giving him his opportunity to have his voice heard. Effectively, Freeman, I hope you understand that by getting in bed with those corrupt corporate influences that you're so concerned about in both major political parties, Ralph Nader is trying to help the one that is most corrupt get reelected. He is trying to reelect the Bush administration. That's the practical effect of what he's doing. For all of his purported idealism, he is accepting their help to help them.
Former Congressman Gamage, that will have to be the last word. Thank you so much for appearing on the show. An hour sure flies fast. And I want to thank you again for being on the Inside Scoop. This is Mark Levine. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about dirty tricks. You've heard about the Swift Boat ads. Well, we talked some about them, but I want to give details about who